Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself.
Eakin on the right sidewalk, coming up to the slot, lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net, mouth in front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
At Wimbledon. Yeah. Great.
As am I, and the men's exciting stuff there. So, but still a lot of hockey news going on as well, huh, Ryan? And I know you love social media.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. It's awesome. I really like it. I like talking about all things John Tavares. I like talking about all things Artemi Panarin and all things that have to do with free agents deciding that they want to be free agents. How dare they?
Do you ever notice that you get like just a little bit screen sick from looking at your phone constantly trying to see whether or not Erik Karlsson is out of Ottawa? It seems like yeah. every couple minutes you're like, I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, it's really funny. I've had some fun with those rumor accounts that tell you that Erik Karlsson is definitely going here, and then 2 days later the Dallas Stars are no longer the front runner. Then it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Vegas is still in the mix. It's so exhausting, the Erik Karlsson stuff. It really is. However, looking up Erik Karlsson gifts and George McPhee gifts, those have been really fun for me, and I've found a few that I can use during the season, so it'll be fun. I'm glad.
Now, it seems to me like when I've gone on social media and I've talked to people that isn't there an Erik Karlsson jersey out there for every team in the NHL right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think the folks that are good at the Photoshop quite busy. But it's just a nice, subtle reminder that everyone does have a right to an opinion, but not all opinions are equal. So be careful where you get your sources.
No, I think opinions are awesome. I do. I love them. It makes my life really fun to read through them. And but when it comes to sources and when it comes to reporting the actual news and when it comes to trades becoming official, you should probably make sure that pending trade call has actually happened before you go out and say that it happened.
No. I was taught a long time ago, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That is correct.
And the other thing about opinions, my dad taught me when I was a young man, said, son, just remember there's two opinions to everything, my opinion and the wrong one. So a lot of opinions floating around out there, but we'll see what happens. It's kind of funny because we're talking about Erik Karlsson, and we're going to get into some of the Vegas Golden Knights stuff and a lot of other stuff on the show today as well. But a week or so ago, on Tuesday, I was at the MMA Awards red carpet, and there was a couple people there that kept on asking me what was going on with Karlsson and that, and they were literally checking their phones like every 5 minutes. And I'm still thinking, it's like, this was last Tuesday that they were doing that, so I'm wondering if these guys are still checking their phone every 5 minutes, or at this point they're finally just going, you know what, when something breaks, it'll just break. I'm tired of this, because they must have carpal tunnel by this time.
Yeah, you do, and you said you don't want to miss it because you don't want to be late, but at this point you almost feel like if it didn't happen last week, that this is the type of thing that could maybe drag on. You know, Pierre Dorion had said they don't play till the fourth. He's in no rush. And whether or not that's a good decision or not, that may be the decision that he makes, that he might take this into the season. And that seems like more of a possibility today than it did last week.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to manufacture a bidding war, you have to try to do your due diligence. And if Pierre Dorion doesn't like the offers, and he understands that he doesn't have very much leverage in this situation, because pretty much everybody believes that Erik Karlsson is on his way out, he's played his last game as an Ottawa Senator, you are going to have to get creative, especially if you're trying to offload Bobby Ryan's contract against your cap. So you at some point, you have to try and play all of your hands. What the problem there then becomes is, if you bluff your way too much, or if you get too deep into this where you just are trying to manufacture, you run the risk of the teams that are actually in the running just saying, you know what, forget it. We don't need Erik Karlsson. Like, as ridiculous as that sounds, we don't actually need him. We went to, in Vegas's perspective, we went to the Cup final. We were three wins away from the Stanley Cup. We don't necessarily need Erik Karlsson. We would like Erik Karlsson, but we don't need him like you need to trade him.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. We'll get in with more with Erik Karlsson. Also down in Dallas, they're saying is Karlsson or another player maybe a better fit for them. So lots of stuff there. But let's start off with a little bit of Vegas Golden Knights news here on the Insider Show. And last night we saw Derek England. He was over at the Walnut Recreation Center doing one of their summer camp programs that are going on. Very cool stuff that they do. There will be more clinics held. You can contact the Golden Knights to find out. Going to be clinics at Desert Breeze Community Center, also at Mirabella Community Center, Doolittle Community Center, Helen Meyer Community Center, various places all over the place. There's also a couple camps, July 20th through 26th, the Learn to Play Hockey Camp, and then July 30th through August 3rd, the Vegas Golden Knights Youth Hockey Camp. So Golden Knights doing a lot of stuff with the community, a lot of different things out there. By the way, those camps that I mentioned, there are costs for them, but you can contact the Golden Knights and check it out. But it's kind of like the Sticks for Kids that we were part of last year, but they've amped it up even a little bit more. And it's cool to see the guys getting out there. And just the smile on these kids' face. I know I'm watching some of the highlights last night on the news, and they talk to this one little kid, and they go, well, what'd you get from the camp today? And he goes, Derek England signed my stick. Look, here it is. I mean, the smile on their faces, and that the fact that these players are out there just talking to them and showing them a proper way to hold the stick and different things out there. What they do in the community is incredible. And Derek England is, again, they don't have a captain on this team. I don't care if they have one or not. That's their decisions. But Derek England is a leader on the team and a leader in this community in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and a good event to go out and just sort of gauge your kids' interest in hockey without investing and sinking too much into the skates and the pads and all of those things. Just go out, play a little street hockey and see if it's fun.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe next week you can score a goal on Frank Harnish or something like that. It'd be fun.
No, that probably wouldn't be that difficult, but yeah, it might be fun. I don't know if it is or not. Basically, if you shoot it and you don't shoot it right into me, it'll probably score on me because I don't have the mobility that I used to have out there. But yeah, check out these camps and might try to make one. I know there's one coming up the 24th that I'm going to maybe try to go over to and maybe get an interview with Derek England. And of course, he has his charity hockey game coming up as well, so that's always a very cool thing.
Yeah, it'll be coming up in August. I believe the 25th is the date, so we'll have some more information as that gets closer.
And you know, Derek England and Marc-Andre Fleury, they're also Fight fans. You can also check out a little video on VegasGoldenKnights.com where Derek England and Marc-Andre Fleury met Triple G, gave him an autographed Vegas Golden Knights number 7 jersey because, as Ryan pointed out, G is the 7th letter in the alphabet.
That's very clever.
It should have been 21.
Or should have been 777.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the triple-digit jersey, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Seven yeah. Times 3, 21, that works, right?
Yeah, whatever. He got a jersey.
Eakin jersey.
Yeah, give him a Cody Eakin jersey. He'll be fine.
He got the jersey, Triple G. And apparently his kid plays hockey or something like that, too, because Marc-Andre Fleury was talking to him about it. So asked him if he played goalie, and he said, no, I don't think he plays goalie.
Yeah, because most normal people don't want to play goalie.
All right, so we have that going on. Also, with the Colin Miller signing, 4 years, $3.875 million per year. What do you guys think about that? I mean, it's nice to have him locked up. I think we might have touched on it last time around, but Colin Miller signed. And I'll tell you, signing that's kind of going under the radar a little bit that I'm really happy about is that Oscar Dansko also still be part of this team out there. 13-3-1 in Chicago, 3-0 with Vegas. Think about that. He had some injury problems last year. But the guy was 16-3-1 between the NHL and the AHL. I really like Oscar Dansk, and if he can stay healthy, nothing against Malcolm Subban, nothing against Lagasse or any of the young goalies out there. Dansk, I really think, could be something special if he gets an opportunity.
It'll be fun to watch that during training camp. There's not a tremendous amount of battles that'll be going on in training camp, but I think that one between Subban and Dansk will be one to watch.
Yeah, and I believe Oscar Dansk is not waiver exempt, so you're going to have to pass him down through waivers if you want to put him in the AHL, and that's kind of a risk because if you put him through waivers, other teams can claim him for nothing. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Oscar Dansk through training camp for sure.
All right, so there's a little Vegas Golden Knights news for you. We'll keep you posted on what's going on with them. It was nice to see. I noticed Dan Duva is back in town as well. He did a real nice article on Colin Miller, by the way, on the website that you can check out too. So I was reading that earlier today. So good job there by Dan talking about what Miller's doing. Enjoying a little R&R up at his place and fishing and doing some stuff out in the outdoors like a lot of hockey players like to do as well. But, okay, let's jump back into it. General managers, Dorion trying to do the stuff with Erik Karlsson, but he's not the only general manager right now having some trouble, or at least some, I don't know if you want to say trouble, but controversial type of things going on right now. Lamoriello with the Islanders, not happy with the way that the John Tavares stuff went down.
Yeah, a little sour grape stuff from Lou, but just complaining about how the whole free agency thing works, and you think about going back, not just in the NHL, how all of these deals were done the next morning after free agency starts, but you think about the NBA, and it started at midnight Eastern, and at 12:01 they were announcing 6 or 7. So it's something that goes across sports about whether or not you can really negotiate terms of a contract prior to the free agent signing period. Lou Lamoriello says, no, you're just supposed to be able to gauge interest. It's gone really far. It's gotten out of hand, and I lost at it.
Yeah, I think that's the last. That last part is the important part, is you lost, and therefore you're upset about it. But it's not just that you lost this time around with John Tavares. You'll remember that Lou Lamoriello was part of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization when they made their pitch, they made their plea for Steven Stamkos to return home and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he lost at that too. So you were fine with it when you were one of the teams coming in trying to make a pitch, trying to get and lure a free agent your way, but you're against it when you lose one, even though they went to the organization you just left to go be with the Islanders. It's so funny. I mean, I feel really bad for Lou. But then again, you look at the signings that the Islanders have made since losing John Tavares, and you just say to yourself, my God, Lou doesn't have it anymore. He really doesn't. That's going to be a tough spot for that organization this year.
And Lamoriello, when he was talking about the free agent interview period, said, quote, I was extremely disappointed with the window of interviews. That was not the intention of how the league and union intended it. I was very disappointed with the way the process was. I've never seen it like this one, end quote. So if it wasn't how it was intended, but everybody was doing it, is it the no? Is it sour grapes? Or does he have a point in any way?
I just don't understand the whole thought behind it, because if those meetings didn't take place prior to the first, they just would have taken place on the first, and he still would have lost. So when does it really matter when those meetings take place? Would anything have changed if it had waited 2 days?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think that at all. Again, I'm of the mindset that John Tavares made his decision after he had his meetings. I don't think that he had any idea what he was going to do. In fact, I think it was probably 51-49 Islanders and then everybody else. However, I do believe that you can be pitched prior to July 1st, but it's not like he signed anything until mm-hmm. July 1st. You're absolutely right. You have 6 days prior to free agency opening to have meetings, gauge interest, do what you got to do. But it doesn't change the fact that if it happened on the 24th or if it happened on the 1st, you still would have lost.
And the thing about it, too, is if you want to look at it completely realistically, the Islanders had the upper hand going into July 1st because they were the only team that could offer an eighth year as opposed to seven that the other teams could do. They didn't close the window by getting that and taking advantage of the one card that they did have in their favor. Then once it was open up, then it went anywhere, and I don't think anyone's too surprised. In fact, I know you've been discussing with some of your favorite people on Twitter that the whole thing with the Islanders and Tavares, and some people now saying that he was going there the whole time and it meant nothing.
And we got some thoughts on this from, go ahead. Sorry, I got a little misinformation from Chris. We'll sort this out.
Okay. So back to the Tavares thing. And could they have closed the deal before July 1st? Do you think that there is anything to the fact that he was going to Toronto the whole time? Because I agree with you. I think that he was looking for some. And maybe Toronto was the front runner. Maybe that's where he wanted to go. But the bottom line is,
let's look at it realistically. Toronto's got a lot of really good young talent. They have a blue line that's not super great, but they do have, you go out there and you have really good center depth, you have good wingers, you think John Tavares helps your team, you probably made yourself a lot better. But they've also got a starting goalie. Regardless of where you fall on Frederik Andersen, he is a starting goaltender in the NHL. The Islanders don't. The Islanders had plenty of time to find a starting goalie to put that plan in place. They didn't do it. So if you're John Tavares, you're saying to yourself, who am I going to go and play for? I don't know Barry Trotz. I don't know Lou Lamoriello. So this selling me on the Islanders, this organization that I've been with for 9 years, when I've got a general manager I don't know and a head coach that I don't know and I've never played for, what are you selling him on? And you don't know who your starting goalie is.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for John Tavares to go. But when you think about Lou Lamoriello sort of complaining about it, you sort of look at other general managers and you start to think, what is the thought process behind how some of these guys are going? We've talked about Pierre Dorion, but you look at Marc Bergevin, and they're trying to get rid of their captain, Max Pacioretty, and he just comes out and says, we're trying to trade him at all costs. All leverage that we had for this guy, we just want to get rid of him. Will anybody take him? And you've turned what you could have maybe gotten some assets into no rush for the rest of the league.
Which is really funny because, you know, Marc Bergevin kind of kept Shea Weber's surgery and injury kind of on the down low until after free agency was over. So it's not like Marc Bergevin is averse to withholding information from the media and other teams. So you say to yourself, what's the point of saying we're not even going to entertain extension talks with Max Pacioretty? We're trying to trade him. Because Max Pacioretty is a player that can be useful. He can be valuable in the right setting with the right team. But you've just diminished your return exponentially because you've made it known you have zero intention, zero desire to keep this player.
And not only that, but Pacioretty's agent has come out and said, to make Pacioretty totally look like the good guy here, I'll reiterate what Max has said a number of times, that he loves Montreal. He holds Montreal dear to his heart, and he hopes to stay. So Pacioretty's agent, Alan Walsh, says that. So all of a sudden, now Bergeron looks like a complete Nimrod, not knowing what he's doing. He's ruined his leverage, and he's totally made them look like the bad guy. Pacioretty saying, look, I love it here. I want to stay here. I'm a Canadian. I'm all in. But they want to get rid of me.
And then they also subtly reminded everybody when they signed that 6-year, $4.5 million a season contract back in 2012 that they clearly left money on the table because they wanted to go there. And just reminding everybody of that signing, giving Pacioretty even more credibility among the fan base.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, they need a number one center, which you might have been able to get, or at least a number two center, somebody that can come in and play good center minutes for you in a trade with Max Pacioretty. But now that teams know you're desperate to move on from him, I don't think you're going to get it. And not that Marc Bergevin is capable of making a one-for-one trade that works out in his favor anyway. But now you add in less leverage, I can't wait to see what he gets. I really can't.
Well, and not only that, but now you add into that Shea Weber is not going to be around for them until at least December. There are some problems in Montreal right now. for maybe the most storied franchise in the NHL, some might argue the Red Wings, whatever, but Montreal has been around and they were dominant for a long, long time. What an absolute train wreck. All right, so we talked about Bergeron, we talked about Lamoriello, we talked about Dorion. Which one is the worst case scenario right now? Which team is in the biggest shambles?
Well, the thing that's funny about Bergevin, though, is he doesn't even know that he's in trouble because he said, I'm not ready to say we're rebuilding. We're bringing in NHL caliber players without giving up young assets and picks. So he's really proud of what he's done. Matthew Pekka, I guess. Michael Chaput. We did bring back Tomas Plekanec. But he says that Max Domi is a new player. He's young and experienced. Brendan Gallagher's young. Jonathan Duran is young. Arturi Lehkonen is young. Charles Hudon is young. But they all have NHL experience. It's not about the draft. We're ready to. We already have some good young players. We have a core of young players that are growing together. That's why I'm not ready to use the word rebuild.
Now all they have to do is hope that Carey Price can hang around 10 years for all these young players to develop.
Yeah, I feel like Pierre Dorion sort of, on some levels, kind of got backed into the situation that he was in. He didn't do anything to get himself out of it, but I feel like Bergevin's created his own mess.
None of those players play center. Like how you have to be strong down the middle, and they've got nobody. Nobody. No one. They don't have a number one center or a number two center. Hell, they don't even have a number three center. They're awful down the middle of the ice. The only strength they have in the middle of the ice is Carey Price, and he can't score goals for you. Oh, God, Bergevin is so dumb, and he's not good at what he does. And yet he's still making decisions for this franchise. It blows my mind. Pierre Dorion, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. He's trying really hard to manufacture a bidding war between the Vegas Golden Knights, the Dallas Stars, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think it's working very well because Steve Yzerman's very good at what he does. George McPhee's very good at what he does. Jim Neal has been pretty good at what he's doing. He's not willing to part with a young prospect, and that's fine. But Pierre Dorion's not good at what he does. So I could see this going one of two ways. He's going to get fleeced on a deal from one of the three teams. He's going to trade Erik Karlsson for far less than what we think he's worth and still not get rid of Bobby Ryan's contract. Or he's going to hold on to both players, not trade him for anything, and Karlsson will walk for nothing.
And I threw that question out there because in my mind, and maybe I'm overthinking this or maybe I'm giving too much credit to it, because the easy one is to say Dorion with Ottawa with everything going on there. But at least he's trying to take the blank storm and use it as fertilizer to grow something. But I think you mentioned the main thing there, Clayton. The problem with Bergeron is he doesn't even realize there's a problem, and that's dangerous. Well, at least the other guys know there's problems, and they're trying to address them. When you think the sun is shining and there's a torrential downpour around you, that's a problem.
And I just want to circle back to Lou Lamoriello. If your answer to John Tavares is Matt Martin, Tom Kunackel, Russ Johnston, three NHL goals, career, and he got a four-year, one-way deal, and Leo Komarov, that's frightening. I mean, that is horrifying. So
you're saying that these people aren't even necessarily household names at their family reunions?
Maybe Lou Lamoriello has already won the award for worst GM out of Dorion and Bergevin. It's possible. It's very possible. At least they didn't sign Roman Polak.
Can we get an award for this? The NHL has so many awards. Let's have worst GM of the year.
They're just tempering expectations so we can make a triumphant splash in the new building. That's all.
Oh, wow. He's smarter than all of us.
But the best part about Lou is that he said the rebuild, or not rebuild, but making things right in New York with the Islanders is going to be easier than it was for Toronto. No, it's not.
Yeah, Toronto seems like they're in a pretty good place right now. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Lots more to get to. We're going to look at some retired numbers about to take place. We're going to look at some other player signings and different things going on. Lots more to get to here. Stick around. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Enjoying our one day a week here. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to the start of training camp and everything starting up and getting back here and rolling it 5 days a week again. But it is what it is right now. Hopefully everybody's enjoying themselves, getting a little R&R. I know you've been back to the gym a little bit.
Yeah, I've been headed back to the gym. I'm looking forward to the fall just because it won't be 120 degrees or 150 in the car.
It has been warm.
Yeah.
It has been warm. And Ryan, how have you been keeping yourself busy?
Working?
Besides work and the family and everything else that you have to do.
Just that, man. That's been keeping me pretty busy.
All right, and I know, like I say, I know Chris is going to do a little R&R on that. Been enjoying myself as well, but always watching the hockey and seeing what's going on there. And now I know, Clayton, we're all Vegas Golden Knights supporters here, and we do the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, but we have some ties to other teams in our previous pre-VGK days. I know that you're kind of a fan of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
That's correct.
You've admired the team. You've watched them for quite a while. And there's a gentleman there who Blue Jackets fans were very happy to get. Chicago Blackhawk fans, like a lot of my friends and myself, were not happy when he left, Artemi Panarin. But now there seems to be some question about how long will Mr. Panarin be staying in Columbus?
The big question mark coming into the season was how would he perform without Patrick Kane? That was what everyone wanted to know. Could he continue to score goals? He didn't reach the 30-goal mark, but he did have 27, his highest point total with 82, his highest plus-minus with a plus 23. The fan base in Columbus very happy with him. The front office very happy with him. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. And so they started the process of trying to get him to sign an extension, and the problem has been about the term and the length and all of that. And Artemi Panarin saying through his agent, or his agent saying on his behalf, that he's not sure that he wants to sign a long-term deal, that he doesn't, not sure that he wants to be in Columbus for the next 8 years. And then it brings about the question, what do they do? Do you ride the season out? Do you go in a shorter extension? Do you trade him?
Yeah, so this is tough, right? Because typically when you hear about players that aren't sure, they're not sold on being in one place for a long time, it's usually, I'm not really a fan of the coach. I don't like how I'm being used. I don't like the team. I don't think that we can win. Those are valid excuses, but it's very rare that we ever hear, I'm being treated well. I love the coach. I love my teammates. I love the fan base. I think we have a great team that can compete. I just don't know if I want to be here for 8 years. And you never hear that honesty from a player. And I think it's somewhat refreshing. However, if I'm the Columbus Blue Jackets, I've got to get some clarity from Artemi Panarin and his agent and say, look, if you had a problem with the coach, we can change that. If you had a problem with your line mates, we can change that. We can't change where our franchise is located. So if you don't think you can be here for 8 years, could you be here for four? Could you be here for five? No? Okay. Then we've got to explore a trade.
Is the main thing that Artemi Panarin is guilty of right now is that he's being too honest? It would have been easier if he would have just said, look, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I want to maybe test the free agent market, see what the waters are, see what somebody else will give me. But he basically has come out and basically said, look, you know, Chicago was a big city. I enjoyed life there. There was a lot to do. Columbus, maybe not so much.
Well, there's also been sort of conflicting reports, because we did hear that earlier that he was interested in a big market. Mm-hmm. But then we've also heard, you know, just sort of the generic, I don't know if I want to be here for 8 years. And I think it goes back to what you were saying, Ryan, about getting some clarity in that. And is that with some of the Russian players, they want to go home? Do you see yourself in the NHL for 8 years? Do you see yourself only being in the NHL for another five and going back to the KHL? We certainly have seen that pattern in the past. The agent did say if it was a two-year deal, we probably would have done it already. And when you look at Columbus and what kind of franchise you have to be, like, not all franchises can act the same. The Blue Jackets can't act like the LA Kings. They can't act like the New York Rangers. And if you look at what Columbus's life looks like, or what their roster looks like over the next couple of years, a two-year deal for Artemi Panarin might not be the worst thing in Columbus's interest.
No, I completely agree with you. I think if Artemi Panarin is open to signing an extension for 3 to 4, 4 to 5 years, you explore that option, because you look at your team, you look at the window that you have, and that might be right around where it is. However, you would have to assume then that the average annual value is going to go up, because at some point Artemi Panarin is going to want to make some money. And I think if he wants to make money on this deal and he's looking shorter term, then your yearly is going to have to go up. And that's going to be dependent on the Columbus Blue Jackets and whether or not they want to pay him more per year for less term, as opposed to maybe seeing if they can trade him for pieces that will, A, want to stick around for a longer term, and B, be a little bit cheaper.
Right. When you look at them, they do have money. They're about middle of the pack in terms of teams and what their salary cap is. They're going to have to pay Bobrovsky at the end of the year. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. But when you start to project and look forward as to what kind of team that they're going to have, if they sign him to a two-year extension, so you're looking at the end of the third year being that 2021-2022 season, they're going to have to take care of Zach Werenski, Sonny Milano, Anthony Duclair, Lucas Sedlak. Those guys are all restricted free agents at the end of this year. But in that 21-22 season, that's when unrestricted free agents, you have Brandon Dubinsky, Nick Foligno, Riley Nash, David Savard. So your team, you're probably looking at a rebuild if you're the Blue Jackets in that 22-23 season. So I don't know, like I said, even if you have to overpay for 2 years, if you say, hey, we've got a two-year window before it's rebuilding time, not to mention that they have to take care of Josh Anderson and Pierre-Luc Dubois after not this season but next, your window really is 2 years if you're Columbus, because can you really look and say, hey, we're the type of franchise or organization that's going to be a perennial playoff contender, or are we going to have five-year windows followed by five-year rebuilds?
It's interesting, too, because Daniel Mishkin said in a Q&A on Sunday when he was talking about Panarin, there's never been a disagreement or an argument. We've been truthful and honest. I told Panarin of the risk, but he said it was a good time to let the team know so that they can plan ahead. We told them before the 2018 NHL draft. So it sounds like they're trying to be completely honest here, but I think you brought up a really good point there, because they're not saying that necessarily, no, look, we want to go to L.A., New York, Chicago, another big city, because they said the bottom line is if it was a two-year deal, they would have signed it right away. But because it's going to be 7 or 8, maybe they don't want to sign with anybody. So if you are trying to trade him and he's got a very high value, what do you get for him if – he tells every team out there, I'm not signing a 7 or 8 year deal? Or does that where we maybe find out where this fits in? If he goes someplace else and he's willing to sign a longer deal, then we know it was 100% Columbus. But if he says, look, no matter where I go, I'm not signing more than a 2 year extension or something like that, then you do have to wonder, okay, well, what is the big picture for this guy?
And let's not discount the fact that if Artemi Panarin doesn't sign right now and has a big year next year, that's significantly more dollars in his bank account. So it might not necessarily be about the term. It might not necessarily be about the place or where he's going to play or whatever the case may be. It might simply be Artemi Panarin doubling down on himself in order to get a bigger payday when he hits unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, and that's certainly why you need some clarification from him. But like I said, if I'm Columbus and I look at Artemi Panarin is probably the most offensively dynamic player that organization has ever had. They don't have a history of being able to bring in big name free agents. You think about the biggest names that have ever been there. They had Sergei Fedorov, who came over in a trade. You're looking at the guys that they brought in this year, Riley Nash, you know, Adam Clendenning, Anthony Duclair. Those are the type of guys that they typically bring in. And you would probably have to go all the way back to Nathan Horton as the biggest name that they've ever brought in. So if I'm Columbus, man, take your 2 years, put that team together and try.
Yeah, and you know, it's also not a franchise that's been able to keep players that they've drafted. I mean, you look at Rick Nash, one of their captain for a long time. He was their most dynamic player. I mean, the first opportunity he got to really leave, he left. And that's part of being in one of those, quote, non-traditional or less traditional hockey markets, is you run the risk of guys being attracted to play somewhere else. In Rick Nash's case, anywhere else, really. But the point is, I think the Columbus Blue Jackets don't want to sign him to a two-year deal, because that's admitting that they can't sign the guy long term. And I think when you're trying to get a fan base excited and ready, and you want to say, we're in this just as much as Pittsburgh, just as much as Montreal, just as much as the New York Rangers or whatever team, you want to be able to say to your fan base, we can get anybody we want and we can sign them. And for the Blue Jackets to do that, they have to actually make that happen. And they've got to lock somebody up long term.
And it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, what you mentioned earlier, that he'd be doubling down on himself. Because remember when he first came over here to the Blackhawks, there were a lot of people saying he only had success in Russia in the KHL because of his line mates, that he needed somebody else. Then he comes over here and he plays with Patrick Kane, and people go, oh, well, he's only good because he's with Patrick Kane. It seems like he's constantly having to prove himself to the doubters out there. So he does completely believe in himself. Maybe that is his game plan. Maybe at the end he's going, look, put me with whoever you want to. I'm still going to do my thing. What I was impressed with this year with his play was, first off, he seemed to get better as the season went along. And like you said, he might not have scored the goals that he has in the past, but he was even more of an assist machine in that. I think this year you could argue that it might be his best season as an all-around hockey player.
He certainly did. And Columbus is an interesting market in that it's, yes, it's the only professional game in town, but they are by a long shot the third most popular team within their market. It's Ohio State football first and foremost. It is Ohio State basketball second. And then you could really make an argument that the third most popular team is the Cleveland Browns in Columbus, followed by the Cleveland Indians or the Cincinnati Reds. So they're pretty far down in the pecking order, and they need to year by year re-energize their fan base. And I don't know that it's one of those things that an eight-year deal does any more to energize that fan base than a two-year deal, because in 2 years they're going to have to find another way to re-energize themselves.
No, that's a fair point. And, you know, again, you look at kind of Nikita Kucherov, right? And you get a guy that takes – less money to kind of at the betterment of the team, and then he has two monster seasons, and now he's cashing into the tune of $9.5 million a season. I think Artemi Panarin sees himself, I scored 82 points this year, I'm probably good for 95. If I can get 95, heck, if I can get close to or breach 100 points, I'm looking at like $9.5, $10 million, because that's what players of that caliber are making this year. So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, since you can never, ever take a player at what their word is, because they're clearly keeping something from you at all times forever. But if I'm Artemi Panarin, I think I'm doubling down on myself, thinking that I'm going to get a better deal, either with the Columbus Blue Jackets over term or with somebody else.
All right, so Artemi Panarin, we're not sure what's going to happen with him. Have a feeling he's going to play with Columbus this year, and we'll see what happens from that point on. Is he staying there? Is he going someplace else? Will he maybe go back to Russia sometime? Time will tell. A guy that we do know where he's going, Patrick Maroon, signs with the St. Louis Blues. 1 year, $1.75 million. I like some of the moves that St. Louis has been making here in the offseason, which really chills me to the bone because I do not like the St. Louis Blues, but I think Perron going back there, I think he's going to be happy and comfortable. I think that this is a team that is on the improve, a team that it seemed like threw in the towel last year, but then actually did make a pretty good run and almost made the playoffs almost in spite of themselves here. What do you think about this, and what do you think about the fact that he goes there for less money than was offered by other teams?
He gave the hometown discount. Patrick Maroon returning, also Tyler Bozak coming in from Toronto, David Perron, as you had mentioned. Ryan O'Reilly comes over in the trade. They also keep a couple of guys around, Oscar Sundquist, Dmitry Yaskin. Those guys are going to be back, and you think about them being able to perhaps add Robbie Fabry, that who missed so much time, that he's almost like an addition as well, and you get him back for a full season. So for a team, like you said, that gave away Paul Stastny,
yep,
a pretty good offseason.
So I've got a couple things on the Blues. One, you get rid of Carter Hutton, which is significant because Jake Allen is your starting goalie and you don't really have a backup plan for him, so that's cause for concern because it's Jake Allen. Number two, where's the outrage for Patrick Maroon going to free agency and then giving a hometown discount? Where's the outrage? How could he do that to the New Jersey Devils? How could he leave that organization in shambles because he didn't let them know he was going to go to free agency and not sign an extension? Outrage. Where is it? Where is it?
He's not as good as John Tavares, so it's not as much outrage.
Oh, that's correct. Because he did the exact same thing. But there's no outrage for Patrick Maroon, but oh my God, John Tavares is a jerk.
Well, he completely screwed over the Islanders. I saw some of your Twitter stuff that you were going to war with.
100%. Hey, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick, too, here, because I know we're kind of up against the clock a little bit and things, but what about Kucherov signing? 8 years, $76 million extension with Tampa Bay. What do we think about that? And does this knock them out of the Carlson race? Because Tampa Bay is saying, no, it does not.
Depends on which side of the Twitter you're on. If you're in Dallas, if you're in Vegas, maybe other places, it says, yeah, Tampa Bay, absolutely out. If you're in Tampa, they says, no, we can still figure it out. Steve Yzerman says, I don't think it's impossible, but if you look at our one-way commitments for the following season, we still have cap space left this year if we wanted to add. But if we were to bring in significant contract, we would have to make the money work, so to speak. So going forward, it would be the same situation beyond this year. So Steve Yzerman says it takes some puzzle piece moving, but he thinks it's still possible.
Don't ask me questions on Carlson anymore. I don't know who's in, who's out, who cares. let's just wait and see. But
what's your Twitter handle, so? Because I know people want to let you know about that because I know you love discussing it.
You find me at Ryan Hockey Guy. Yeah. You yell at me at Ryan Hockey
Ryan
Guy.
Will it's be fine. Happy yeah. to let you know his feelings, and then he will be very calm while you tell him why he's completely wrong because he loves the hater world of social media.
Loves the Twitter.
Wrong all the time.
I know Jesse Granger tells you that all the time. Check out the Rink Rats as well.
No, Jesse Granger's wrong all the time. I'm always right.
All right, well, there you have it. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, we come back. We're going to talk about a couple numbers that are going to be retired this coming season from Ryan's second favorite hockey team in the world. Eh, maybe not so much. The Anaheim Ducks retiring a couple numbers. Wrapping it up here on a Wednesday. We'll be back with more Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Final go-round here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And, well, we know that Ryan is from Southern Cal, and he likes the L.A. Kings, and he is not a fan of the Anaheim Ducks. But the Ducks will be retiring their second and third jerseys this coming season. Paul Kariya and Scott Niedermeyer's jerseys will be retired. Kariya's number 9, Niedermeyer's number 27. By the way, when Niedermeyer's jersey gets retired, he will become only the 8th player in NHL history to have his jersey retired by 2 different teams.
Good for him. I like Scott Niedermeyer. I do. I think he's a really talented defenseman. And they won a Stanley Cup with Scott Niedermeyer. So, good for him.
When you think of Scott Niedermeyer, though, what jersey is he in when you first think of him?
You mean just in general?
Yeah, do you think of him as a Duck or do you think of him as a Devil?
I mean, he's done a lot with both organizations. I mean, you deliver the first Stanley Cup to California, which is what he did with the Ducks. I think that's huge. And, you know, you think of the core of that team, and it was Niedermeyer and it was Solani and it was a couple of other guys. So, no, I don't really have any issue with it. I probably lean more Devils, but I do see the merit in his number being retired as a Duck for sure.
All right, when it comes to those players, and by the way, Timo Solani is the other player that was retired, his jersey retired. Scott Niedermeyer, Paul Kariya, Timo Solani, what are you guys' thoughts on general about retired jerseys? I mean, I have no problem, and I think it's cool when you see the rafters and the, you know, hanging in different stadiums, that kind of stuff. It's kind of weird because there's actually been a number of jerseys retired in the NHL that I don't know if they're really still retired or not because the teams don't exist, and the team, when the franchise moved or something, the other team said, well, those aren't retired jerseys from us. So is your jersey really, really retired if there's not a team to have it retired to anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. I like the number 66 is not retired league-wide for Mario Lemieux, but Josh Hosang decided to wear 66 for the New York Islanders until he was shamed into changing it this year. So I... who cares? It's a number. Like, who cares?
You see that sometimes in the NBA, like, who's allowed to wear number 23? And you see that same thing.
Well, no, the only number retired league-wide is Wayne Gretzky. You could argue Jack Eichel. He's going back to number 9 this year. Should he be allowed to have that? Because Gretzky says that number should be retired league-wide.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel about that. I'm all behind Jackie Robinson's number 42 being retired all across baseball because it's for a different purpose than Wayne Gretzky just being the greatest. I lean towards Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if you want to retire somebody's jersey, good for them. Have a nice night for them. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. The Doctor, T.C. Martin, is up next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Enjoy your week.